Blog Talk Radio.
But it's coming out. The birds are surely singing, and definitely the mood is right for a conversation with the Father on this morning. I'm so excited about what God is doing in this hour. The show is only going to be 30 minutes today because I'm going to be joining Pastor Natalie Thompson and her husband on this morning at their prayer breakfast. So I'm so excited about that. But I certainly didn't want to miss doing the show on this morning. We always get so many listeners. And I just wanted to make sure that I came on and that I had a chance to chat with you. I'm hoping that if you're on the line today, that you will participate. This morning we're talking about something very simple. It's Easter Sunday. You know that tomorrow. And certainly everyone knows that he died on the cross. That's what they say for us, that we may have life and that more abundantly. Well, this morning my question is simply this. What does Easter mean to you? I'm excited. A couple of Sundays ago, actually it was last, maybe two Sundays ago, maybe one. I'm so confused. Just one. My pastor preached the message, I Must Get to the Cross. And I wanted to share with you something that I gleaned from that message that I wrote. And I'm hoping that it will spark something in you. And if you want to join the conversation, you only have to push one. And you can comment. And certainly, I always tell you, you don't have to talk about what I'm talking about on this morning. We use coffee as a metaphor for a universal conversation with the Father. And this show is about the need for conversation with Him in the morning, because we believe that every morning should start with a conversation with Him. And if you do that, trust me when I tell you, your life will be altered, it will be changed, and you will be blessed. I do this show, sometimes I wonder, I say all the time, what makes me get up every Saturday morning and do this show for people that I've never met? And hey, you may listen, you may not listen, I don't know, but I do it because in my heart of hearts, I believe that someone is being blessed every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. It also blesses me when people call in and share their thoughts and their opinions. I love it. I love the conversation, and I'm grateful that you chose to have a cup of coffee with me on this morning. If you dialed in early, then you heard me playing the song by Jonathan Butler, This Is Love. I said, what does Easter mean to you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him may have life. Oh, my gosh. What does it mean for someone to give their son, to give their son for your life? I say this is love. I love that song. It says, your love has kept me from the cold, side by side. I'm not afraid. Greater is he that lives in me. It says that's more than enough. This is love. There is no one else but you. I have searched the whole world. This is love. I love that song. So we were talking briefly about the message that my pastor preached. I've got to get to the cross. That message really sparked something in me. And I have a Facebook page, Me, God, and a Cup of Coffee. And every morning I do my morning cup of coffee. And what that is really, when I get up in the morning, when I'm laying in the bed, sometimes there's a message in my spirit that God gives me, or sometimes there's a scripture I may have heard or something someone said to me in passing. Sometimes it's on my mind, and then God begins to deal with me about that thing. And so when I get up in the morning, I read my scripture, I go in prayer, and out of that, I write my morning cup of coffee. Well, on this particular morning, it was maybe two mornings after that message, I Must Get to the Cross. And there was a scripture that came in my spirit, Romans 10:4 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And then I wrote, I must get to the cross. This morning's cup, now we're talking about what is Easter to you. So I'm going to share with you what Easter is to me, and then hopefully you will share with me what Easter is to you. But if you don't, I don't mind talking and sharing for 30 minutes. I love this. So it says, I must get to the cross. This morning's cup of coffee is probably very personal. If you're smart, you will receive it for yourself. My thoughts are on the message my pastor preached this past Sunday. I must get to the cross. This being Passover week, I am reminded that Christ died on the cross for me. It was at the cross where all my burdens, past, present, and future, were rolled away. By hearing the word of God through a preacher, you are available to hear the message that reminds you that you can position yourself at the cross to receive freedom, free from bondage, free from condemnation, free from all of the things that try to subdue your mind, things that were nailed to the cross. I must get to the cross because it is there where I find life, liberty, and justice for all. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? If you are unsure of what transpired on the cross and how it equates to your freedom and life more abundantly, might I suggest that you begin reading the scriptures and going where you can hear a preacher share this message? You must know that if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will find it, but you must be hungry for it. Fear, intimidation, failure, disappointment, hurt, shame, and whatever you are facing that keeps you from being free, remember it was all nailed to the cross. You don't have to receive any of these things. You don't have to receive any of these things for yourself. And when you find yourself wondering what it is all about, simply get to the cross. You're not you when you're hungry. Get to the cross where you can feed on the bread of life. I love that. And I'm going to tell you something. That message was so significant to me because I think what happens a lot of times is as we go from day to day in our daily walk in Christ, and I'm going to talk about this from two places. First, I want to talk about it from that place of where you know who he is and you've been walking with him for a while and you've been spending time with God and you go day to day. Sometimes we forget about what transpired when we first acknowledge that Christ is real in our life. You know, that excitement, that hunger and thirst to know him more, to really understand his principles. And, you know, so for me, when I thought about this message this week, I'm telling you, it really ignited something in me and made me want to think about, you know, what happened when I first made the decision. I remember I was just so excited, and I wanted to share the goodness, the good news, as they say. I wanted to share it with everyone. And, you know, he says, I must get to the cross. And because at the cross, you know, that, remember that old song, at the cross, where I first saw the light, where the burdens of my heart, you know, everything that was so heavy that was keeping me down and keeping me frustrated and keeping me from understanding that I am an anointed individual filled with God's love, created in his image, everything that was keeping me from being who God called me to be, where the burdens of my heart rolled away. Because in that place at the cross, you just find yourself in a place of humility where your arms are stretched and you say, here I am, Lord. And then when you understand what happened and what transpired on the cross, then you don't receive this condemnation when things try to come and subdue your mind and cause you things that come that try to make you feel as though you're less than or you're not who God called you to be. You find yourself sometimes thinking, you know, am I ever going to be or am I ever going to do the things that I believe that I can do? And you start thinking less of yourself. When at the cross you're reminded that God took care of all of that. My father used to say years ago, he wrote a blank check, and whatever you need, however you need it, all you have to do is fill out that check. I'm excited this morning. I don't know. I'm going to this prayer breakfast, and it's not real close, and I don't want to cut the show short. I love doing this show. I want to share with you on this morning. I almost want to play this song again, This Is Love. I just think it's an awesome song, but I won't play it again. I won't bore you with it again. But that's what the cross means to me. If you want to share with me on this morning what the cross means to you, push one. I think sometimes, you know, doing radio is difficult for some people. You know, there may be fear, but certainly the cross means something to you, and hopefully you don't mind sharing. Someone needs to hear your story. Someone needs to hear what you're feeling this morning. Well, it's Easter weekend, and, you know, we take the kids out, and we hide the eggs, and we buy the Easter bunny. You know, I laugh sometimes at the fact that almost every month I notice it goes from one thing to the next thing. But almost every month, you know, something out there is going on that causes you to spend your money. But what I love about Easter, if you can just really understand and get this in your spirit, you will know that it's not about how much money you're spending. It's about Christ who died on the cross for you because he loved you. Looks like we have a caller on 434-444, and we want to hear on this morning what that caller has to say. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How you doing?
Oh, blessed and highly favored. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine, doing fine. Just getting over a little sore throat.
Oh, well,
but
that's
God
okay.
Is good.
He is good, and I already know who this is. I know this voice. This is my brother, Pastor Paul. I'm so glad you dialed in this morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, doing fine. I was just enjoying your broadcast this morning.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm so excited about were you on long enough to hear
I was on the whole
time.
Wrote,
I must get to the cross?
Yes.
Yeah, I tell you, what did you think? Did you want to share with the people what Easter means to you?
Well, I was just thinking about something that I say often. We've been in a week of Passion Week services with 8 different churches throughout the city. And on Wednesday night past, you may be familiar with Fifth Street Baptist Church. I had to open up service in, at that church. And
oh, yeah, the great Reverend Moore.
Right. And
right,
I had to do I Am the Way. We've been dealing with the I Am's this week. But what I thought about in context with what you're sharing this morning is, the word says he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And the beautiful thing about the fact that this whole resurrection experience is not an event, it's a life. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And what I thought was so powerful, because there have been some frustration throughout the community and throughout the world and relationships and people that we know and others that we don't, but we know they're frustrated, is that you don't have to be detailed about what the resurrected life confronts and resolves. He deals with generational curses. The word says, in Adam all died, but in Christ all are made alive. And the reality that his life has atoned for all of us. And if a man would just believe that he that was dead is alive forevermore.
Yes.
It's a powerful thing. It's a grace ministry. You know, that his unmerited favor has been attributed to all of us, even those of us who don't fully understand him yet. The fact that, you know, the word went out that life had come to every man, that we all have access to that. That's a powerful experience. That's an awesome thing that God has done. And so, you know, I was just thinking about what you said and the fact that you picked something so powerful as that this morning.
Pastor Paul, and I, people may laugh because you are my brother, my older brother. but I call you Pastor Paul because that's you. I always tell you, you are my pastor first. You know how much I love the ministry in Lynchburg and how much I have grown under your ministry. But, you know, what I love everything that you're saying, you know, and that's why I enjoyed Pastor Darren's message so much. Because at first, when he first started, I must get to the cross. In my spirit, the first thing I thought, well, you know, when he first started, before he started speaking, I thought, well, is it necessary to go back there? But then after listening to his message, I began to really understand exactly what he was saying, that state of mind that causes you to remember on a daily basis what he did for us that we might have life, and the fact
right.
that it's made available to every man. I mean...
Right.
Just the idea of that blesses me so much. And he said to us on past Sunday, he said, Now, this week, I don't know whether it's going to happen to you, he said, on Tuesday or Wednesday. He said, but certainly one day this week, you're going to experience something that's going to cause you to remember. And I woke up. It wasn't the first day, but certainly I think it was that Tuesday when I woke up, and it was just so heavy in my mind. I must get to the cross. I must get to that humble place, that place where I understood and I remembered that all my sins were he died for me, that there be no sin, no condemnation, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, Susan, you know, one thing that we forget, that the word talks about us picking up our cross and following him. And like as Christ has suffered in the flesh, we should arm ourselves likewise. And we forget that getting back to the cross has to be more apparent to those who have forgotten, because the reality is that we have to become one with him. He said, mm-hmm. before you can know me and the power of my resurrection, you must first know me in the fellowship of my suffering. So, you know, the reality is if we have gotten that far away from the cross, then we're further away than we should be.
Mm.
If we're one with him, then, you know, the word says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. And so it's something that we should be realizing every day. We die daily. So at the end of the day, the further away a person is from it, having to get back to it, is the reality that we live out the grace ministry not for the sake of getting something for ourselves, but that we might provide something through Christ for someone else. So everybody's not that far away from it. For those that are far away from it or the furthest away from it, need to get closer to it. The word, the Apostle Paul said, that I might apprehend him that has apprehended me.
Amen.
So, yes. We should not get up every day assuming that we're supposed to be so distant from it. We're supposed to be one with it.
Well, and I think for me, that is really what blessed me so much about this message.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of times in the course of your day-to-day walk with all the things that you deal with on a day-to-day basis, sometimes you can forget just what he did for you. You know, you have to – so being reminded to get to the cross for me causes me to remember just who I am.
Yeah.
You know, just who I am and what he did for me, and it keeps it in the forefront of my mind. I think that's why I was so excited about the message, you know, just because what I found myself doing is just remembering that place of freedom.
Yeah.
If that might be a word that I can use, that place where I felt as though I had no cares because I understood that he took care of everything. And that
you
all
know,
I had to do was walk it out.
You know, a lot of people are going to wear, that's good, a lot of folks are going to wear crosses, as some do all the time, but a lot of folks are going to wear crosses tomorrow, right?
Right.
But we hope that they'll wear it in their heart.
Well, you know, that's the other thing, because he's not on the cross.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
He died on the cross, but he didn't stay on the cross, and that's
exactly.
where that's the part we get to rejoice about.
Yeah,
So that, you know, and that's the hope that they will understand just what his death means and what it did for
yeah.
us.
Yeah, yeah. He that has the Father has life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the funny thing about it is it's celebrated. But the word of God says, and this thing was on my mind all night, off and on, and this is what made me, look to at least just listen to your telecast this morning. I didn't know what you were going to be talking about, but the word that kept coming up in my spirit even in the context of what we're talking about now, no man calleth Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And see, and unless they, you know, embrace the empowerment of what his death, burial, resurrection has done, you know, they can't really, you know, they can't really celebrate this experience. You know, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? I've listened to some of the conversations people have around at the foot of the cross, you know, folks talking about what God accepts, what he doesn't, what he allows, what he doesn't, you know,
mm-hmm.
what men are free to do. I remember my elder brother saying, a man doesn't know that he's free from sin until he knows he's free to sin. And that,
say that one more time, Paul. A man doesn't know
that he's free from sin until he knows that he's free to sin.
Oh, I love that. Yeah,
my,
yeah,
my
elder
yeah. Brother,
Alfred
the Second said that. And
yes,
I was,
he does.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that when discussions are being made about, you know, what is right and what is righteousness and what is sin and what is not sin. There's a lot of conversations going on out there. We have to be careful. We have to pick and choose. You know, the Word of God says, foolish and unlearned questions avoid. If men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil.
Mm-hmm,
but the reality is that, you know, there are absolutes in Jesus Christ. That sin is sin and the wages of sin is death. We could dress it up and fix it up all we want to. But if we don't embrace the reality of what the cross has done in transforming lives for the kingdom and for the purposes of God, then you know, what do we have? You know,
yeah,
after
I love
tomorrow
that.
Is
you know,
over, what does a man have?
Yes, I love that. And it's interesting because in this, you know, everybody's embracing the kingdom now, kingdom ministry. And I love it, of course. I believe that we are kings and priests. But in that, I'm finding also that, you know, so I heard somebody say a while ago this message of, you know, you can do anything you want to do. I love the fact that you said the wages of sin is death, you know.
Yeah.
There's got to be a broader understanding of that, you know, and I tell people all the time, not just death to your life, but death to anything you put your hands to, because without
yeah.
him, there is no success. And
that's
without
right.
him, it's false, you know, it's false success.
Right, right.
And so I love the fact that you say that, because what we got to understand that if you say you are a son of God, that comes with power and authority. That comes with the acknowledgement that Christ is my Father.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I want to say one last thing, because I know you only have a couple of minutes, but I wanted to say something. Getting back to the cross, really, to speak to your thought for the day,
mm-hmm.
is a powerful thing. To say the least, there is no glory in the cross, as you have so well stated. By all means, we're not encouraging anyone to stop at the cross, because you can't do that. He endured the cross, and he despised the shame for the joy that was set before him. And if a man, a woman, boy, or girl are willing to get beyond the cross and
mm-hmm.
walk out to the liberty where Christ made them free, then by all means make that visitation. But if it's going to leave you at the foot of the cross full of condemnation and always thinking that you have to wail at the wall for deliverance that has already come, then you need to learn a more excellent way.
Yeah, and I love that,
yeah.
And I'm so happy you dialed in because you added the other part. And, you know, and that I love that. If you think you have to wail at the wall, because, you know, that is my message. That's my message to women all over. That's my message to boys and girls and men, that, you know, Christ did it. You don't have to, because, you know, so often we, I think my pastor even said this, you know, he talked about the weeper, you know, always
yeah.
wailing and crying
yeah.
and suffering and moaning, but understanding beyond the cross. I have to get to the cross so that I can acknowledge what he did for me, and then I have to go beyond the cross so I can take what he did for me and live
right,
and
right.
life and that
right.
more abundantly,
right,
and so
right.
that I can redeem man back to him.
Right, right. And
you know,
as long as a man thinks that he's going to the cross to stop there, then he's going to find himself at the beginning of Romans 6, where it says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we who are dead to sin because of his death live there any longer therein? So we got to go beyond thinking just having a cross on our chest is going to subside, to supplement or substitute the fact that his desire to purge our consciousness from sin and that we might serve a living God.
Yeah, and here's the thing, Paul, it's such a liberating message.
Yes.
When you really understand this thing, it's such a liberating message. And I believe that, I say it all the time, I believe there's a shift going on, and I believe that people are starting to respond to the message, and they're starting to understand fully on a greater level who Christ is, what he did for us, and who we are in him, Christ
right.
in the earth, the hope of glory. I think that people are starting to respond to that. And, I always like to say that we have to impact lives. And for that means we have to have irreversible motivation, persuaded and causing triumph, impact.
Right.
We have to take a man beyond just touching him. We have to take him to the place where he can now impact other lives.
That's good.
So, yeah, man,
wonderful.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
nice.
I got to go because I'm cutting the show short because I want to be with Pastor Natalie and Jimmy, and I really don't want to miss them on this morning. But I tell you what, this has been an awesome message. Might I ask, and your message on you spoke on Wednesday night, Pastor Paul, or Thursday?
Wednesday night.
And your message again was?
I am the way.
I am the way.
Yeah, and the emphasis is I am is the way.
I am is the way. Oh,
I
man.
Am is the way. That you're not looking for him to give you a way. Yeah, you're looking for you to embrace him who is the I am, the Alpha Omega, the beginning, the end. He that was, is, and is to come. He is the I am. When Moses said, who shall I say sent me on my way? He said, tell him that I am that I am. And that's what we have to live in, the I amness of God.
And I love that you're saying that because that's powerful in and of itself because what it does, first of all, it puts you in a position where when you understand that, you understand the authority that's in your hand and you also understand that it's not in your strength that you do anything, but
right,
it's in him that all things are done where men come to their knees and they bow down and they say, Lord, here I am, Hey, listen, we have another caller, so I guess before we end, Paul, we have to see what they want to say. We have a caller on 434-444. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. It's a wonderful day as we approach Easter Sunday.
Amen.
I'm just excited to be able to call in. This is Santina. How are you?
Oh, Santina. Well, blessed. Pastor Paul, you know who that is, don't you?
I know. Wonderful. Nice hearing you.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm so glad you called in. We were talking, and maybe you just want to answer this question, Santina. The show is a little bit shorter on today because I'm going to go visit some friends and go to a prayer breakfast. But we were talking about Easter. What does Easter mean to you? Do you want to share with the people briefly what Easter means to you?
I'd love to. What Easter means to me is that God, when he died on the cross in the form of Jesus, he restored to us access to the throne. And that because that at that moment of death when he gave up that last breath, he restored the power that we had initially with him in the Garden of Eden. And it's not hard to believe. He came, he said, in the due time that he would restore us, and it was at that point of death. And it is in our lives, too. At the point of death, he restores us, if we're in him, back to what we were meant to be, heavenly beings.
Girl, I'm loving this thing this morning. And you know what I like that, said, and I know, Pastor Paul, you probably want to tap into this,
yeah,
too.
I'm not
I love that you said at the point of death. And here's what's so exciting about God. At the point of death can be any time. It can be actually after you've surrendered and said, yay, Lord, I will. At the point of death, so we have high points, we have low points, but at the point of death, all you have to do is remember that in due time, Christ did it all. Pastor Paul, did you want to respond to that? That was such an awesome comment.
That was over the top. I mean, and Adam all died, and Christ all made alive.
Yeah.
And that's what his whole purpose was, to bring total reconciliation and restoration to all of us. I mean, that, you know, it's, you know, the Lord has simplified this thing so much so that that people do not have to, you know, go to and fro trying to figure it out. He said, all shall know me. He said, I'm writing this thing in their hearts. I'm putting it in their mind. You know, and the reality is that we have to just embrace that. You know, we just have to live it out. Spiritual formation is the process of being transformed into the image of Christ for the sake of others. And we have to let our light shine. You know, folks say they're looking for Christ, you know, but it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery has been revealed, and we have to, it's a corporate anointing in the earth, you know, and all we have to do is declare the truth. It's in every man. If this mystery that's been hidden has been placed in every man. He, you know, he formed us, and out of himself, he breathed into men's nostrils. It says the breath of life. But I believe that that breath with the Holy Ghost itself, that quickened and made alive every man, that we're not getting up and arriving out of some natural ability. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that is quickened and made alive, that resurrected life in the hearts of every man. And they still, they need to know that. And the Word says, to this day, when the Word is read, there remains a veil over the hearts and the minds of them that will not believe, lest the light of this glorious gospel should shine unto them. But if they would just remove that veil of disobedience and embrace what Santina just said just now, God will reveal himself right from where they're sitting, whatever the situation is.
Yeah, and I love that, you know, and that's the message that I bring every Saturday morning. That's the message that I try to share through Real Women with Real Weight, through my website, through my ministry, you know, just getting people to understand that there's nothing in and of yourself that you can do or have to do. Christ did it all. You know, that song says, Jesus did it all for me. Jesus died and did it all for me at the point of death. Yes, Santina, you had another
comment?
And
if we don't accept that, then we don't accept the cross experience. If we still think we have work to do, then we have negated his death.
Yes.
We have no work to do except for accept and bow down and worship.
And isn't that such a freeing place, you know, and that's the old, you know, that old message of having to work to do to, you know, we do have a responsibility to redeem man back to him, to share this great gospel. But beyond that, there's no physical thing to do. He did it all. I mean, if you can just get that in your mind, you know, I have other callers on the line. You know, they're not commenting, but certainly I believe that they're listening, and certainly I believe that they are being blessed.
You know,
well,
if I can say something real quick, one thing that was really awesome earlier this week when I was ministering, that the Lord showed me in the resurrected life message that there is such an awakening of deliverance to every man that the altar call that God is bringing forth today, there's not enough room at the cross in the context of physically coming up to an altar, that there's such a powerful conversion and transformation taking place. Let me share it in this little short term. The deliverance God is bringing to us is not just personal, but it's generational. He's destroying and rebuking generational curses so that your children and your children's children are delivered in such a way that you don't have to just stand and say, I'm coming back again. That when he delivers you, he goes into your seed and your children's children. I want to say to everybody that's listening today and others that you may contact and touch today, that if you let them know that God is bringing transformation and healing to generational curses, that if someone will dare to minister that word of deliverance to those that are suffering and being challenged in their bodies and conditions and circumstances, and they think that they have to inherit generational conditions and situations, if they speak the word, the Spirit will move, and that which is invisible will be made manifest.
And that's powerful. Oh, man, I love this show. I love Santina and Paul. I love you guys. I'm so glad you dialed in. And all my other callers that are on the line this morning, we certainly thank you. Such a powerful, powerful morning. I must get to the cross to remember. I must go beyond the cross to live. And I must know that if I receive him, that he will not only deliver me, but my seed, and the generational curse will be broken. At the point of death, wherever your point of death is, acknowledge him. Oh, my God, and you shall have life, and that more abundantly. Santina, Paul, all my callers, I love you. Thank you for calling on this morning. Thank you for sharing life with people and impacting lives. Have a blessed morning, and if
love
you don't
do
anything else, have a cup of coffee on me.
Bless
I love you guys. Thank you for calling in. Be blessed.
Bye.
I'm going to play This Is Love, closing out The Thief of Always. I think this is a powerful song. Before the Thief of Always steals.
Before the
wind
that
chill
has gone. Springtime rivers rise before the setting sun has disappeared. The moon is rising high, and time waits for no man. Seasons come and go in the midst of a never change. In the midst of a never-changing world. you're